On January 29th, 1990, the Field of Road Church of Christ right here began a call-in telephone program. We called it Bible Talk. And this program is where people were invited to dial the telephone number and listen to the answer to a question. We had a question of the week. If you want to know the answer to this Bible question, you had to call Bible Talk and listen to the answer on the telephone. That program lasted for 18 years. We had over 28,000 phone calls. We answered over 500 different Bible questions. One of those 28,000 phone calls that we received was Nathaniel Westmoreland. Nathaniel called our program sometime in 1990. I don't know exactly what date it was that he first called. I did go over to his apartment, though, and I had a Bible study with Nathaniel. He wanted to come to church with us on Wednesday nights. He was a member of Shiloh Baptist Church, but he wanted to come with us on Wednesday nights. And so for the next 2 years, Nathaniel would come to church with us every Wednesday night, and he would go to Shiloh Baptist Church on Sundays. In 1992, the church here had some bumper stickers made up for the Bible Talk program. And so all the members put the bumper sticker on their cars. And we were advertising the Bible Talk program some more. This time people see our cars going around, see the telephone number, and they would call when they would see that number. Well, Nathaniel, he didn't have a car, but he had a wheelchair. And so he put a Bible Talk bumper sticker on the back of his wheelchair. And that's how he advertised our program. He would go out and everywhere he wheeled around, whoever saw the back of his chair saw our bumper sticker on the back of that chair. Every Sunday, he would go to church at Shiloh Baptist Church. And of course, he sat out in the middle of the aisle. Now, I wasn't there. This is what he told me. But he sat out in the middle of the aisle with the Bible Talk bumper sticker on the back of his chair. And there he sat in Shiloh Baptist Church advertising the Bible Talk program for the Church of Christ every Sunday. Now, I have a confession to make, though. I have a confession to make. After coming with us for 2 years on Wednesday nights only, I was getting tired of picking Nathaniel up for church. And, you know, I didn't really think he's not interested in the gospel. He just sees me as a way to get out one night a week. And he's just using me. And so I was getting a little bit tired of that. And I decided that I was going to have a talk with him. And if he didn't obey the gospel, then I was just going to quit picking him up for church Wednesday nights. So on January the 6th, 1993. I can remember that. That's 3 days before my youngest child was born. So, on January the 6th, 1993, it's a Wednesday night, I picked Nathaniel up, I took him home, and I was going to have a talk with him. We got over there to Keystone Apartments. I turned off the key, parked the van. I said, Nathaniel, I want to have a talk with you. I said, have you ever thought about obeying the gospel and becoming a member of the Church of Christ and coming with us not just Wednesday nights only, but all the time, every single service? Have you ever thought about that? And Nathaniel said, yes, I've thought about that, but if I do, I'm going to go back to Shiloh. And I'm going to tell them that I'm being baptized into the Church of Christ and I ain't never coming back. That's what he told me. I said, all right. The next Sunday, he did just that. He went to Shiloh and he had a meeting with the pastor. I think his last name was Smith in those days. I don't know who the pastor is now, but Nathaniel called him Brother Smith, if I remember correctly, and he had a meeting with him and some other men at Shiloh Baptist. And he told them that he was leaving. He was becoming a member of the Church of Christ. But he didn't tell me he did that. He told me he had thought about doing it, but he didn't tell me he was going to do it. So the next Wednesday night on January the 13th, now this is 4 days after my son was born, I picked Nathaniel up for church as usual. He said nothing to me about being baptized when we went to church that night. When the invitation song was sung like we always sing the invitation song, he didn't wheel his chair down the aisle. After services were over, everybody visited like normal. And I was getting ready to load him up in my van and take him on home, and then Robert Kirk came up to me and he said, George, he said, Nathaniel just told me that if we'd fill the baptistry with water, he'd be baptized tonight. I said, really? And so we filled the baptistry full of water, and remember now, this is January 13th. Water, January 13th, is cold water. And we filled the baptistry, and Nathaniel was baptized that night for the remission of his sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Now, Nathaniel knew that he couldn't read about the Baptist church in his Bible. Mm-mm. Nobody knew he could read about the Church of Christ in his Bible, his very own. And he liked that idea. And he knew that he couldn't read about being saved by faith alone. And he couldn't read anywhere where anyone in the Bible was told just to say the sinner's prayer and be saved. He knew that to be saved he would have to obey the Lord's command and be baptized in water to wash his sins away by the blood of Christ. Acts 22 and verse 16. There were no other black people coming to church here in those days. I don't mean there weren't other black members. I mean there wasn't any other black person, period. But that didn't bother Nathaniel, and it didn't bother any of the members here either. Nathaniel was the hardest person I ever baptized in my whole life. He was about 150 pounds. And there wasn't an ounce, not an ounce, of fat on him. That's bad. You say, why that bad? Because fat floats. And I'm getting ready to put him in some water and he's not going to float. And he couldn't put his arm around my neck like he usually did, because I'm going to have to put his whole body under the water, so I'm just having to carry him into the baptistry like a little baby. And I announced to the congregation that was still there before everybody had left. There were still some left. And I announced that I was baptizing him into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:19, for the remission of his sins, Acts 2, verse 38. He held his breath. I had to squat down with him to get him under that water. Water came up to here on me. I almost got baptized with him. And I dunked him under that ice-cold water. I was afraid when I came up out, I was afraid I was going to slip coming up these steps over here, but we made it out, and there were some brethren at the top of the steps waiting to take Nathaniel and dry him off and warm him up. And from that time on, Nathaniel was at church every time the doors were open. I think you can count on one hand how many times that he would miss church the following 17 years. The few times that I remember that he wasn't here was because somebody just didn't go get him or didn't bring him. Nathaniel brought more people to the church than anybody that I know of, including the preacher. He brought his nephew and niece to church. He convinced them they needed to be baptized for the remission of their sins. He brought some of his friends and neighbors from the Keystone Apartments. Some of them we baptized. He had me studying with his nurses and helpers. He had me study with his girlfriend. We baptized his girlfriend and then he married her. Nathaniel's life growing up was somewhat difficult. His mother died when he was young. He was reared by his grandmother. And he called his grandmother, Mother. Because as far as he was concerned, that was his mother. Nathaniel was in a bad car wreck. If I remember the year correctly, it was 1987. And he was thrown out the back of the car window and was fortunate to have even survived. He was in a coma for 3 months. He was many weeks in some facilities in Warm Springs, Georgia, trying to recuperate. He had a steel plate in his head. And because of that wreck, he lost the use of his left arm, his two legs, and I think his speech probably was affected somewhat by that wreck. There are many memories to have about Nathaniel. I'll always remember that he had a Ford Mustang. I never saw that Ford Mustang. The only reason I know is because he told me. And told me. And told me. Nathaniel said he knew karate. And I believe in his own mind, he thought if he had to, he could perform some karate move on somebody if needs be. He worked at a golf course. He was a golf caddy. He loved Jimmy Dean sausage biscuits. I know because for a while, every Wednesday night on the way home from church, we stopped at the old Ingles store and we got some more Jimmy Dean sausage biscuits. He loved his brother Benny. He said, Benny is built like a rock. He always said that to me. He loved his brother Anthony. He said, Anthony's got a Ford Maverick. He's restored. And he would tell me that again and again and again. He spoke often about his daughter, Josette. He'd tell me how she would clean for him and do his laundry for him. He loved his son, Nathaniel Jr. He would talk about Nathaniel Jr. He loved his wife, Velda. He married her on September the 6th, 2001, just 5 days before September 11th, 2001. That's how I remember that. And they were married by the Justice of the Peace, I believe, in Jonesboro. I may be wrong about that. Velda took care of Nathaniel. I know there were many times before they were married, I'd go over to pick him up. He wouldn't be ready. He wouldn't be in his wheelchair. I'd be upset with him. Nathaniel, no, you know I come every time. At this time, you're not ready. But after he got married to Velda, he was always ready. He was always sitting in his wheelchair. He was ready to go. And Velda took care of Nathaniel. When I think of Nathaniel, I'll always think of his scooter. The scooter. It was a blessing and a curse rolled into one. I helped him get his first scooter. It was very small, three wheels. The first accessory that he added was a bumper sticker on the back, said Bible Talk, had the phone number. Then he added a horn. Then came a basket. Then a rear view mirror. For a while, Nathaniel had a bicycle helmet that he would wear on his head when he would go on the road with his scooter. Good thing, because he turned it over a time or two. One time he had a flat. He called me on his cell phone. I had to drive all the way from my house in Morrow all the way to downtown Jonesboro and load him and his scooter up and take him home. That first scooter was small enough to maneuver around in his little apartment. But eventually he traded up to his big blue scooter. He put a BMW insignia on the back of the big scooter. Something was always wrong with that scooter. It's driving me nuts. Mostly it was the batteries. One time it was the battery charger. Then there was the tires, the seat belt, the throttle switch, the speed control. One time he went over a speed bump and he broke the metal frame of the scooter, and we had to take it and have the frame welded because he went over the speed bump too fast. I tell him, I say, Nathaniel, this scooter is not made to drive all over the place like you're driving it. And he'd drive down to the Ingalls grocery store on Highway 138. He would go down to the old Hardee's on Main Street. He'd drive all the way over to the CVS pharmacy on Terra Boulevard, cross Terra Boulevard, with his scooter. Most of the time, though, he's just going to Heritage Bank and the Magic Mart to get a cup of coffee. I know I wasn't the only one involved in maintaining that scooter. There was sort of like a whole little pit crew assisting to that. Yeah, I think Anthony probably had his share with the scooter, the truth be known. There was Sherry Floyd, Mark Grant, Robert Kirk, Junior Presley, Mike Hernandez, I think, helped out a little bit with the scooter, Milton Mayo, and there's a pharmacist down at Hudson Bridge Pharmacy who, his name's David, I don't know what his last name is, but there's got to be surely some reward for him in heaven someday for what he went through on that scooter. We all had a share in keeping the scooter going. Nathaniel was not really a preacher in one sense, but in another sense he preached a lot of sermons. He spoke to everyone about the Lord and about the Lord's church. And so for just a little while this afternoon, what I want to do is I want to, before we go and take Nathaniel, and we're going to bury his body, and before we bury him, I want to just remind you about what Nathaniel believed and what he stood for. And if you were around Nathaniel for very much, you know what I'm about to say already, because he told you with his own mouth. But maybe you weren't around him too much, and maybe you didn't know all of this, but I thought of 10 things that Nathaniel believed and what he stood for. And I want to remind you, and I'm not, the things I'm about to say, I'm not trying to make anyone upset, I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings or take advantage of the situation. This is what he believed in. And I think that if Nathaniel were here and he could talk to you with his own mouth today, he would tell you the following 10 things that I have written down. Number one, Nathaniel believed that God's plan of salvation included baptism in water for the remission of sins. He believed that. And if you didn't know that he believed that, then you really weren't around him that much. He believed that baptism was essential to salvation, and he would want you to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Somebody wrote the plan of salvation there, and that's what it is. That's what it is. And it ends with baptism. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, right there, the Bible says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And Nathaniel believed that so much, he was willing to quit Shiloh Baptist Church because the Baptist Church doesn't teach that. All churches are not the same. And he believed that was so important, he was willing to quit Shiloh and come and be baptized. I'm not trying to make anybody upset, but he believed that. And if you were around him, you know he believed that. Secondly, Nathaniel believed that God's plan of salvation included membership in the Church of Christ. Yes, he did. The Church of Christ was built by Christ himself. Matthew 16, verse 18. And according to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Jesus shed his blood for the church. Did you know that? That's what the Bible says. Now listen, if Jesus shed his blood for his church, then you can't be saved without that church. And Nathaniel believed that, and he would want you to know that. And if he were here and could speak with his own voice, he would tell you he believed that. Third, Nathaniel believed that the Church of Christ was the one and only church that you can belong to and go to heaven. Now, you may not like that and you may not agree with it, and that's your privilege and that's your choice. But that's what Nathaniel believed. He was thankful that he could pick up his very own Bible and he could open it up to Romans 16:16, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, and he could read about the church of Christ. He knew that if Jesus shed his blood for the church and that Jesus built only one church, then the only way you can be saved is to be in that church. And one day, maybe when you're cleaning out Nathaniel's apartment, you'll find a windbreaker that he had. And he had that windbreaker embroidered on the back. Somebody professionally embroidered his windbreaker. And it said something on the back of it. I'm not exactly sure how it was worded, but it's something like, the Church of Christ, the Bride of Christ, the one true church. And he wore that windbreaker. And he had a baseball cap. It said the same thing across the front of the baseball cap. Now Nathaniel honestly believed that if anyone was ever going to be saved, the only possible way is to get baptized for the remission of sins and to be added by the Lord to the Lord's church, which is the Church of Christ, and be faithful. And he believed that so much he was willing to quit Shiloh Baptist Church, which he had been a member of for years. And he came and he became a member of the Church of Christ. Number four, Nathaniel believed miracles ceased. He believed miracles ceased. People would tell Nathaniel a lot. They say, oh, it's a miracle you're still alive. It's a miracle you survived that wreck. He'd say, no, it's not a miracle. It's a blessing. He would tell people miracles have ceased. Nobody is miraculously healed anymore. He believed what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10, miracles ended with the close of the apostolic era. One time, a preacher from some Pentecostal church somewhere around here went to Nathaniel's apartment on July the 30th, 2005. I was there. Mike Hernandez was there. And this Pentecostal preacher said he was going to heal Nathaniel, make him walk again. So he got Nathaniel, pulled him up from his wheelchair and held him from behind. And this preacher and his wife and the preacher's son, they danced around with Nathaniel for 15 minutes in the kitchen. And they were jabbering around in unintelligible tongues. And I finally, after 15 minutes, I said, put him down before you hurt him. And they finally put him down, and the preacher said it was Nathaniel. He didn't have enough faith. It was Nathaniel's fault. No, it wasn't Nathaniel's fault. He had nothing wrong with his faith. The problem is with that preacher and his doctrine. Tongues have ceased. Miracles have ceased. And Nathaniel was going to take his place right back in that wheelchair, and that's where he was going to stay. And on Resurrection Day, he'll have a new body, and he will walk normal, but not until then. And he took his place, and he stayed in his wheelchair. Number five, Nathaniel believed that the Lord was in control. And what I mean by that, oftentimes I'd take him home, I'd drop him off on Wednesday night, and I'd drop him off. I said, we'll see you Sunday, Nathaniel. He said, don't say, I'll see you Sunday. Say, if the Lord wills, I'll see you Sunday. He'd always say, if the Lord wills. His favorite passage, James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. Come now, you who say today, or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend the year there, buy and sell, make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And Nathaniel, that was his favorite passage. He'd quote that to me all the time. Number six, Nathaniel believed that women should remain silent in all the assemblies of the church. Yeah, he believed that. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35, let your women keep silent in the churches. They are not permitted to speak. He believed that. He was politically incorrect. Yeah. But he believed that passage. Now, you don't have to like that. But now, he had many a discussion. And I sit in and I listen to his discussions where he talked to people about the women have no business speaking in the church. Number 7, Nathaniel believed in acting colorblind. I don't mean he was colorblind. I mean he believed in acting like it. I mean, he could look at me, he could see I was white, and he could see that he was black, but he acted like we were the same. And I don't know if you know this about the Church of Christ that meets right here in this building, but in this building every week, every Lord's Day, we have communion. And when we have communion, we have one loaf of unleavened bread that everybody breaks from and eats. And we have one cup. And everybody drinks from that one cup. Let me read it to you. This is what the Bible says. Matthew 26, verse 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. And we did that every week. Nathaniel sit right out here in the middle of the church, and there was white folks that drank before he got the cup, and there was white folks that drank after he got that cup. And people can talk all they want to about integration, but the church here practiced integration and practiced being colorblind. Number 8, Nathaniel believed in assembling with the church every Lord's Day. He wouldn't miss. The Bible teaches that the church was supposed to gather on the first day of every week, Acts 20 and verse 7, and break the bread. And Nathaniel was faithful to be present every Lord's Day for 17 years. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42, those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that same day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Well, that describes Nathaniel. Because he was baptized, added to the church, and he continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking the bread, and in prayers. Number 9, Nathaniel believed in worship. His mama died when he was young. He lived 29 years, sort of normal. Then he had that car wreck, and he lived 23 years in that wheelchair. About half his life. And sometimes people would take advantage of him. And while many people would have cursed God, blamed God, started drinking, started doing drugs, it had an opposite effect on Nathaniel. It took a coma to wake him up. And he started living his life different. And every time I would see Nathaniel, I'd say, hey Nathaniel, how's it going? He'd say, it's going good. He always said that. Every Thanksgiving, I'd tell Nathaniel, I'd say, Nathaniel, you have a good Thanksgiving. He said, every day's Thanksgiving, brother. It reminds me of Job. Job chapter 1, after Job was the richest man in his day, and God allowed the devil to take everything he had away from him. His property, his land, his family, they took it all away. And the Bible says after this horrible day, it all happened in a day. Here's what the Bible says in Job 1, verse 20. Job arose, took his robe, or tore his robe, shaved his head, fell on the ground, and worshipped. And said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Well, that describes Nathaniel. He didn't blame God. And he started drinking, and he started doing drugs. He worshiped. His favorite song was Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. And he loved that because he thought that described him. And he loved that song. Number 10, Nathaniel believed in helping others. Can you imagine that? A man that's only got one good arm, and he would do what he could to try to help somebody. He'd give people a place to stay, and people would take advantage of him. And they'll have to answer to God for that one day, but he couldn't bring himself to turn somebody away. He always spoke a word of encouragement to everybody. He always tried to encourage the preacher. He always amened my sermons. One time he hollered out, "That's a double amen." And I'm not sure what a double amen is, but I like the sound of that one, and it encouraged me. And I'm very honored that Velda has asked me to come and to speak today on Nathaniel's behalf. And Nathaniel was a very good friend. He was a brother in Christ. He was a close friend. And today, if you really want to do something for Nathaniel, if he were here and you could do something for him, he would be thankful for these flowers, and he would be thankful for all of you gathering here and all that. But what would really make Nathaniel happy more than anything is he would want you to investigate the Church of Christ and think about that plan of salvation and get yourself right and get in the Lord's family and be part of the church that he was a member of. I don't have to guess about that, because that's what Nathaniel would talk to you about. I've heard him talk to some of you with his very own mouth and tell you those words. The church wasn't just something that Nathaniel did on Sunday. It was his life. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And that, when the kingdom of heaven is the Lord's church, when the Bible says seek it first, it means make the church the most important thing in your life. And it was for Nathaniel. And if you ever want to see Nathaniel again, then you're going to have to obey the gospel and be added to the Lord's church, because when the Lord comes again and when He redeems His people out of this world before this world is burned up to a crisp, and He raises the righteous dead from their sleep of death and takes His people home with Him to heaven, if you want to see Nathaniel, you better be in the Lord's church. And you better have obeyed the gospel, because that's where Nathaniel's going to be. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and 46, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." And that's what Nathaniel did. He forsook everything that he had, and he became a member of the Lord's church, the Church of Christ. Let's have prayer at this time.